Well, the big Sunday is over. Easter is past. But the church was not left to live forever in the upper room. It was sent out in all the world. It was not left to marvel in Easter Sunday celebrations. It was not left on the Mount of Olives marveling at the Ascension. It was not left to hide in the dark corners of Jerusalem. It was called to carry a message. But when Jesus said, "You will be called to send a message," he also told them, "Wait. Wait until I call upon you. Wait until I send to you what I promised." Easter's over. Okay, let's get back to the thick of things. We can get back to regular routine wherever we are. We got our spiritual fix, right? We have come down from a spiritual high. Time now to get back to what we're doing, right? No. We are called to wait. Wait for the Lord to call us. Wait for direction. And we're not really good at waiting. Or at least I'm not. The disciples were called to wait. All of us are called to wait. Now, as I mentioned to the children, I have to confess, when I'm at HEB and I'm in line, let's say the 15-item line, I'm sitting there, seeing in front of me, you know, wait a minute, you got 16 things out. You know, I don't do that, but I mean, have you ever, I bet you guys do it too. And you begin to get frustrated waiting in that line. Or the wonderful, wonderful gentleman or lady that loves to keep their coins until HEB. And then they're, you know, laying them out right there. Oh, my gosh. What can we do? Let me count them for you, okay? We hate to wait. We don't like it. We never have. Even as young children, they don't like to wait. But waiting can be very helpful for us. You know what waiting does? Waiting helps us conquer our fears. Waiting gives us the opportunity to remove the blocks in our life. Fear blocks us from doing so many things that could be wonderful for our life. Waiting gives us the opportunity to overcome our failures. Do you realize how often when we fail, it just brings us down further and further, and we begin to say to ourselves, "I'm not good enough." But the waiting period is a time for God to heal us and God to help us know that we can try again. Waiting also allows us to relieve guilt. And you know, I'm telling you, guilt is one of the major issues in our life. We all have something that we feel guilty about, something we've done in the past. And that guilt over the years can just load on us and load on us. And some people carry their guilt all their life. And it limits the joy that they could have in their life. Waiting is an opportunity to be healed from that. To begin to maybe hear God's word saying, "You're forgiven. All is good. Let's start again." Waiting is an opportunity to be refreshed in the spirit. There are times in our own lives when our soul is just down. We're just really low. And waiting is an opportunity for God to begin to kind of blow his spirit into us again and to be able to refresh us so that we can take that next step and begin to live again. And we wait for power. Now, Here's the thing. Without power, you'd be going out on your own. And when you go out on your own, you're defenseless. When you go out on your own and you're saying to yourself, I don't need to wait for God. I'm going to go do it myself. You're heading for a brick wall. You become susceptible to pride. I'm smart. I got talents. I don't need any help from God. You also, if you go out without power, you're going to run out of gas. No sustainability. You know, there are many people of faith who have not waited for the power. Many churches that have not waited for the power. And I've seen it over and over again where they jump out and they go for something good. And they're really wanting to get involved. And they want to get their church really involved in whatever it might be. But if they haven't waited for the power, they're going to run out of gas. And I've seen many a churches that run out of gas. You got to wait. Impatience is the deadly enemy. Now, here's a history lesson. I'd say most of you probably remember this fellow, but those under 35, maybe not. We're looking at March Madness, and it's coming to an end, right? And some of you probably have been pretty involved watching March Madness. Well, do you remember Coach John Wooden of UCLA? I think most of you do. Those under 35, maybe not. When he was a coach there, they won 10 national championships. And at one period in the 70s, they won 7 in a row. Everybody hated UCLA. Everybody rooted for the other team. They were tired of seeing UCLA Bruins winning the national championship. But you know one thing that you don't know is that John Wooden started coaching there in 1964. He started coaching there in 1948. He didn't win his first championship until 1964. Waiting. It took him 16 years to build a program good enough to win a national championship. But he was willing to wait. And while he was waiting, he was building the blocks and closely putting it together and teaching a school to support the basketball program more than it was. He waited in order to build his team. But if he was impatient, he would have left UCLA. He would have gone someplace else. And I think with some of us, sometimes we're too impatient and we leave, go someplace else. The impatient spirit, my friends, wreaks havoc upon the souls of others. An impatient heart can break the hearts of countless others, and it can break your heart. Impatient mind can bring forth deadly theologies. It's amazing what the mind can come up with and what they believe is right. And they collide with others. Waiting for the power from on high. The power from on high is what? The Holy Spirit. That was the promise. He will send the Holy Spirit. Christ's Spirit is what enriches our life, nourishes us. Christ's Spirit is what strengthens us, takes our weakness and begins to make it stronger. Christ's Spirit is what heals us, heals our wounds. Christ's Spirit is what comforts us when our heart is breaking. That's the power. The disciples were still not ready to conquer the world with the gospel. They had some work to be done in them. They needed the power of Christ's Spirit. They did not have the courage yet to do what they eventually did. They were afraid. They were hiding. And they did not have the passion. You got to have passion to accomplish some of the great things that God has for your life. Passion. Passion brings to you strength. Strength to do the heavy lifting, to stand firm against all with the winds of opposition. I'm telling you, friends, when God calls you to go out and do something with your life, one thing is certain is you're going to run into opposition. What are you going to do? Wilt or stand firm? Passion gives to you also an ability to accomplish the mission. It's that which begins to help us see what we need in our life to accomplish that. The ability. And it gives to us the capacity to go the distance. Lasting power. We don't run out of gas. Power of the moment. Power of the moment is the right time. And I'm telling you, our God is one that is perfect in timing. We're not so perfect, but God is perfect in timing. You can try to push the moment if you want to. You can try to get the time moving faster, but I guarantee you, you're going to ultimately run into a brick wall. God's moment brings wonders in your life. Look at what God did at the Red Sea. I mean, it was perfect timing. Perfect. The Red Sea opened up just when they needed it and closed just when they needed it. God's moment moves mountains. Wasn't God's timing perfect to bring Jesus into this world? Perfect timing. God's moment changes hearts. We just have to read the story of Apostle Paul, who hated the Christians, wanted to put them all in jail or kill all of them, until he took a trip on the Damascus Road and his heart was changed. Timing. It was the perfect timing for Paul to experience what he experienced on the Damascus Road. But here's the question. What do we do while we're waiting? Do we just sit at home and fiddle around, waiting, hoping God? I mean, some people do that, and I don't think that's what we should do. The scripture actually tells us what we should do. I mean, we don't go back to the daily grind. We continue in our devotion to the Lord. We keep in touch with the Lord. Now, yes, we do our work. And we do what we're paid for, and we take care of our families, but we also need to not disconnect ourselves from God. I mean, we got really excited on Easter, but as Easter fades, we begin to sort of fade in our passion for Christ. But notice in the scriptures today, it said this, they, the disciples, stayed continually at the temple praising God. It is a prayerful waiting. A waiting with anticipation that something big is coming. There's something that God wants me to do with my life. And I know some of you feel that. You can feel it in your heart. There's something fabulous out there, and I just don't know what it is yet. Well, that's because you're not ready for it yet. But when you're ready, that's when he'll send you. In our prophecies of Isaiah, we have these words, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know the word in there, hope? They will hope in the Lord. You know what that literally means? Waiting for, to wait for, to wait for the Lord, and he will renew your strength.